Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello there. A very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Paul Keighley, and a very welcome return to the postcasts for Paddy Power's Frank the Tank Hickey. What a treat we've got for you over the next 45 minutes or so. We will be marking your card with the best bets on 8 ITV races at Sandown and Aintree, all the rest of the best cards away from the TV glare. And then on Sunday, we've got a cracker at Huntingdon. It's the Peterborough Chase featuring some much-loved names. And there's 2 great contests over in Ireland as well. So without further ado, let's let you know what sort of weather and what ground we can expect the weekend. Because it's been a drier week, Kills, but it feels like the rain is threatening to fall again, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Sandown had a couple of mils this morning. The latest is that it's set to rain heavily, according to the Met Office, from between 4 and 5. But after that, it looks to be dry. And you know what the Met Office says when it's heavy rain? It could be anything from 2 to 10, and it probably won't be that much. It'll be softish at Sandown, but it won't be desperate. Same story, I think, at Aintree as well. Latest radar suggests a couple of bit of rain at 2 o'clock, and after that, a dry day tomorrow now. But you know, it wasn't saying that just a few hours ago. It said it was going to be wet, so you just do not know. But at the moment, it doesn't look like there's going to be too much about.
Okay, and a dank weekend in Ireland as well. Yes, Frank?
Yeah, it's not a great morning here today, and there's a bit of rain forecast, so yeah, there'll be soft ground at best everywhere.
Frank, it's so nice to hear your dulcet tones back on the postcast, my friend. 2 weeks ago, the lovely Jewel gave birth to your first child. Oliver, how is the lad doing?
He's very good. He was 3 weeks early. He gave us a bit of a fright because Jill came in to me at 1 o'clock in the morning saying she had a few pains and I was exhausted. And she was like, I'm not sure if it's happening or not. And I said, go back to bed for an hour there and see if you'll be all right. We're pretty sure it was childbirth then. We got her into hospital just after 1:30. A nurse saw her at 2:05 and the baby was out for 3:30. So it was, happened all very quickly. But he's flying it. He's putting on weight and we can't keep him full at all. He's a starver, but yeah, it's great.
Fantastic news. And do you fancy anything? You got any strong fancies for us, Frank?
I have a couple that I really like. Maybe not absolutely getting stuck into, but there's a few I'm strong enough on, yeah.
We look forward to that. Keith, are you confident going into the weekend?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite weekends of the year, this. All the big races are chases, the races I like watching the most. And, you know, you've got the Beecher and the Tingle Creek in the same weekend. Really runs the spectrum.
And the fields have lived up to expectations largely, haven't they, don't you think?
Yeah, the Beecher, I mean, we're going to get on to the Beecher. And I think it could be a stronger race than it has been in the past. But that only sometimes makes them better betting heats.
OK, excellent. Right, then let's crack on with Sandown's 4 TV races. They're all on ITV4 and they start with the 1:50... The Reed Road to Cheltenham, racingtv.com. Henry VIII, Novices Chase. Over 2 miles, Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
At the moment, Torpillo is our 9-4 favourite. Somerville Boy is 5-2. Nuba Negra, 11-4. Grand Santé, 5-1. Esprit de Large, 14-1. And we're 25 spare.
And I've missed you so much, Frank. I need you to give us the first tip of the show.
Yeah, this would be one I'd be a little bit more strong on. I really like Nuba Negra for Dan Skelton. If you go back, he was a decent enough juvenile hurdler. He was third in Fred Winter off mark 135. I think if you remember back, he travelled really well into the straight. He probably didn't find as much up the hill as you would have thought, but he was decent enough. And last year he struggled a little bit, as those juveniles coming out into open company can do. But his 2 chase starts this year, he's been very impressive. His jumping's been electric. I think he made 1 mistake at Faintingham the last day, but on his first start at Warwick, he was very good, won very easily. And while the Faintingham race wasn't up to much, you know, it wasn't that deep, he was still beating, you know, 125 horses very, very easily, conceding a penalty. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Soreal, who won this 2 years ago. Sandown really is a test of jumping, and I think his jumping will suit him. Like Somerville Boy, I thought was fortunate enough to win at Utoxeter. If First Flow hadn't hung right, I don't think he would have won. And Torpillo will probably want plenty of rain. I think his best form is when he gets proper testing ground. And I don't think it'll be testing enough on the chase course farm. So it's Nuba Negra for me.
And who for you, Keith?
I agree with Frank's point there about Torpedo and Summerhill Boy. I don't think their form over changes fences so far has really been up to all that much, and Nubi Negra is the one with the form behind that you would fancy for it. Although I still don't, as Frank sort of alludes to, the form of that's not the hottest eye that you are going on visual impressions slightly. None of it's in the same league as Grand Sensi's form over hurdles recently. You know, he's bred for fences, he's got loads of form going right-handed. With the form of those with form over fences being so sort of able to pick holes in, there is a case for going for the horse that's starting out with the classy hurdles form behind him. And if there's a few in there that might go really hard as well, and if it turns into that on soft ground, I wouldn't even rule out the Evan Williams horse, Esprit de Large. He was really impressive at Exeter. The doubt is whether he'll be sharp enough for 2 miles. But I think there's no question he's got a 150 performance in him. And if they go hard in this soft ground, then he might come into it as well. But I think overall, like Grand Stance, is the one I would be backing in this.
Kiels, is this a race that you think could be quite relevant as the season progresses?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, they've all shown a fair amount of promise. I mean, you know, I must admit, I'm a little bit surprised Torpedo's favourite. I think he'll end up being third favourite. He didn't do, you know, he certainly didn't do anything wrong and did loads right at Warwick. When he won, and he gets obviously the allowance that he won't get later in the year. But I agree with Frank. I think Nubi Negra is going to rate an awful lot higher than he did over hurdles. In fact, he's a fair bit higher now. His jumping is superb, and if he carries on in that vein, then Sandown's, you know, he's tailor made for Sandown, especially if Torpedo goes off hard like he did at Warwick, because it will just set it up for a strong traveller who's a swift jumper. And I half expect him to be favourite when it comes to the race. But yeah, we haven't seen a superstar over fences yet. I mean, the Arkle trial at Cheltenham was won by a mare who was the outsider of four. So there's plenty of room for something to come and, you know, state a case for the racing post Arkle. I wouldn't be surprised if Nubi Negra ends up being a lot shorter than he is at the moment. I think he's a 25-33-1 shot for that.
Okay, great stuff, chaps. We are off and running. Let's do the 225 next. It's the Jumeirah Hotels and Resorts December handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and it looks pretty competitive, Frank.
Yeah, Malaya 7-2, Protectorat is 5-1, Smarty Wild and Mac the Man are 11-2, Song for Someone 8-1, Ashtar 9-1, Man of Plenty 11-1, and we are 12-1 bar.
Keith, you can have the first crack at solving this puzzle.
Well, the market when it first went up had Malaya second fav, and I thought that was going to right itself, and it has done very, very quickly. You know, the form last season obviously appeals. It won the Imperial Cup on testing ground round here, and testing ground at Sandown does create a real sort of specialist test. And this season had a run of offences, didn't seem to take to it that well immediately, and then spin round Ascot. I don't think you can really mark it down too much on that basis. So it is a puzzle in that regard, and sometimes it is just easier to play it straight with a horse, especially at Sandown, where it can be horses so specialist that thrive.
So you're going Malaya. Who are you going for, Kiels?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been backing her this season already. I thought she actually shaped fairly well at market raising over fences, but she just belted one. And apparently she got cut after that and was on the easy list for a little while, which hence she probably needed that run at Ascot a bit. That Imperial Cup that she won couldn't have worked out much better. She beat Michelle Cop by a length and a quarter. He's rated £15 higher now. And if you go back and watch that race, she actually gets chopped up approaching the home turn and loses a couple of lengths, then walks through the second last and almost comes to a standstill, but still comes on and gets back up and wins in commanding fashion. Now, she's only £4 higher now. This looks to me a considerably weaker race than the Imperial Cup. And, you know, although I like to back her horses at bigger prices, I think she's rock solid.
How about you, Frank? Are we going to get 3 votes for Malaya here?
Yeah, look, she's definitely the one to beat, but I'm going to take a chance that this Protectorat is well handicapped. Now, Dan Skelton got him from France last year, and he was disappointed. Although he was highly tried as a juvenile, he ran at Cheltenham twice, once in a Grade 2, was well beaten behind Fakir Doudary, and was then seventh, beaten 28 lengths in the Adonis. Now, he had a wind up in the off-season, and it seemed to work the trick because he ran a really nice race at Sandown on his reappearance in Maiden Hurdle. Now, on the face of it, that didn't look the strongest form at the time, but the third horse, Trincomalee, ran a cracker in what looked a very warm hurdle race at Newbury there last week. Protectorat was only beaten ahead by Keenan, who nailed him late in the day. He actually had a handicap mark of 132 prior to that run. The handicapper dropped him 4 to 128. I thought that was generous enough. I think the wind off is the key to him. The fact the Skelton is lethal in these 2 mile handicap hurdles as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of aimed at this and the run in the maiden hurdle at Sandown was kind of a prep for it. I could see him stepping forward, and I think he's the danger to Malaya, and I'll have a few quid on him, all right.
Jolly good. The 3 o'clock, the race of the day, the Betfair Tingle Creek Chase, a race that has been won by some of the great 2 mile chasers down the years. And we've got a great field here. And what I like most about this, Frank, is there's 8 runners. So we've got some each way potential as well. Spin through the latest from Paddy Power for us.
Defi Desai is 13-8. Politolog and Undeso are both 4-1. Sorrel 6-1. Janika 8-1. Waiting Patiently 10-1. Dallas and Arnoux aboard 33-1.
Kills, this should be a cracker, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should be an absolute cracker. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of Defi Desai. But the more I look at it, the more I come to the conclusion that he is a dreadful price. You know, it's an 8-runner race. If this was a handicap, he would be number 6 on the card because 5 of the others would be giving him weight, including Undeso, who's officially rated £8 higher. So his potential improvement is already built in. It was quite interesting, though, with Ruby Walsh on RTV a couple of weeks ago saying that he didn't think Defi Desai jumped fast enough for a 2 mile champion chase. We're going to find out today. I did go back and have a look at Punchdown when he got beat by Chacun Pourceau, and he was untidy at several fences. He made a right mistake at one of them, and that's going the sort of pace that he's going to have to go here. The 7 fences down the back straight of Sandown is going to be a real test for him, and I can see him losing ground. I mean, again, he ran at Sandown last year over 2.5 mile. He pitched on landing twice at one of the railway fences on each circuit. I mean, they jumped the 3 railway fences over 2.5 mile. They're the first 3 fences. So I just can't see why he should be 13-8 and other horses should be a bigger price. Now, Undeso thrashed Min last year by 4 lengths. That was his last run. Had he been a 7-year-old and done that, he'd be coming here and he'd be even money. Now, obviously, he isn't. He's approaching 12. But according to Racing Post ratings, that was the second best run of his life. So he's every bit as good as he was. And therefore, he needs to be, should be, a shorter price than he is. He's got a fantastic chance. He goes really well fresh. He obviously won this in 2016. The only horse to beat him, it was Altior last year. And he's a massive player. So is Politolog, who comes out better at the weights anyway than Defi Desai, because he was giving him £3 last time and he likes going right-handed. So I'm going to get stuck in a land Defi Desai winning place, and I'm going to back Undeso, the old warrior. He's got a great record for us. He's won this race before, and he's too big a price.
I already liked Undeso Kills, but that was a brilliant reason for me to like him even more. Great stuff. Frank, what's your view of the Tingle Creek?
Yeah, I think Defi, like, look, he was very impressive last year, and that JLT has worked out, but I'm not convinced 2 miles, it's not even full 2 miles around Sandown, is going to be ideal for him. I thought the way the race would set up, Arnoux and Undeso would probably go out in front. Arnoux might take it on for the first mile, and Undeso sits second. There could be a strong pace here, and I'm absolutely loved the way Sorreal jumps. His jumping's just electric. If you go back to last year's Queen Mother, I'd back the Mantipost, and to be honest, I'd put the docket in the bin thinking he was done because of the soft ground, that he had no chance. But if you I watched the race again this morning, the way he travelled and jumped, like, he's jumped into the lead after the last, but he's travelled in on the bridle, and you think, oh, he's going to turn over Altior here. Now, he didn't really see it out from the soft ground up the hill that day, but it was an absolute cracking run. If you go back to his novice days, he won the King Henry VIII here. Again, jumped extremely well, travelled unbelievably well. The stronger the pace, it's really going to suit him. He's not the best horse in the field, but I think he's the best jumper. And if the pace is strong, and like maybe collapses a tiny bit in front, I think he might actually be able to pick up the pieces. I'll definitely have a few quid each way. I struggle to see him out of the 3.
Excellent. Do you share the lad's scepticism over Defi's chances?
All depends how the race has run, doesn't it? I mean, Arnoux runs like a horse that's being chased by a swarm of bees every time, so it's going to go off really hard. The catch will probably happen around the railway somewhere, and I think it depends there what Politolog and Undeso do. They both need a stronger pace than Defi Desai. If they take a pull, I think they'll get picked off. But if they kick on and make sure it's, you know, do it as a relay all the way to the end, then I think what Keel says is right about Defi Desai. You might get, that's how you're going to get him found out. And in that regard, I would be looking for the win bet on Undeso. We talk about the dead eight, and I would just make a small and short case for Waiting Patiently. Those prices.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I think this horse has got proper engine, this horse. And last year was a bit of a non-starter. You know, it still finished second to Surname in that race at Ascot. They went to Kempton and had a really unfortunate incident there. He's always looked the horse that you want him. I've always wanted to see him back at 2 miles because I've never, when he's been really fit, I've hardly ever seen a horse get him off the bridle. So I want to see a strongly run race. I just don't want, I don't think we quite know how good he is yet in many regards. It's whether, and the yard's having a decent time of it. When Ruth took over from Malcolm, I thought, you know, this is, it'll be interesting to see which way this yard goes. She's really done quite well out of it. And if he, you know, it's a race where there is going to be a strong pace on, it's exactly the sort of race that should suit him if he's quick enough for two.
Quick word, Kiehl's on waiting patiently. I mean, we've all had to wait patiently to see if he will fulfil the potential that he's shown. And really, the wait goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did look like a potential superstar. It didn't go right for him last year. I just wonder how many horses come back to their best form after having a bad year. It isn't many. And, you know, he has something to prove at 2 mile too.
Okie dokes. And one last question on the Tingle Creek for you, Frank. Will the punters get stuck into Deffy, or do you think he might drift a little?
To be honest, I'd be surprised if he goes any shorter than what he is. I'd be expecting him out maybe 2-1 or 9-4 tomorrow morning. That's what I'd be thinking. About waiting patiently, it's interesting that Ruth Jefferson has hit a bit of form recently. She's had 3 winners in the last 2 weeks from 7 runners. Like, if the ground had got proper testing, I'd be very interested in him. But I think there's not probably enough rain to tempt me into backing him. I was close to backing him on Tuesday, but I left it off. But yeah, I wouldn't put a line through him at all.
Jolly good. The 3:35, they'll certainly need to get every yard of this. It's 3 miles, 5 furlongs. It's the Betfair London National Handicap Chase. Frank, give us a show of betting.
Yeah, Classic Bennett, 9-2. Step Back, 6-1. Royal Vacation, Dragon Destreval and Sharp Response are 7-1. Oobland is a boat, 9-1. Coningsby and Shanron Santos are 10-1. And we're 12's bar.
And who's your fancy, Frank?
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance on one of the price here, a bit of a flyer. Dark Flame for Richard Rowe was one that just caught my eye the last day. Now, Richard Rowe has caught one backed off the boards at Sandown today in the Grade 2 Novice Hurdle. But this Dark Flame was actually quite a decent novice chaser going back to 2017. He won at Sandown over 2.5 miles off a mark of 125 fairly easily. He was third at Ascot off over 2 miles, 3 off a mark of 135. In a decent handicap in his next start. On his last run before his absence in November 2017, he was fourth in the Sodexo Gold Cup at Ascot off a mark of 133. He was only 10 lengths off Gold Conquer that day. Now, he was off 2 years, obviously had a setback, got dropped to 124 and reappeared in one of those veterans chases at Sandown on the last day where Oobland as a ball won really nicely. But Dark Flame, like, he looked like he was going to be out the back of the telly and just kept plugging away, staying on, beaten 5 or 6 lengths. But what was interesting is if he steps forward for that run, I could see him getting involved in the price here. He's run well at Sandown before, and just at 12-14-1, yeah, I thought he was worth a few quid each way, but I would be overly strong on him.
Have you got a strong view here, Keith?
I've got a really solid one. I think that Sharp Response to the Sue Smith horses, it won over 3.6 in North Yorkshire National at Catterick in its last run last year. Sue Smith all needed their first run, he did his. And then at Haydock last time, Creve Hill was fancied to win by half the track and did. It was a really good time. And Sharp Response just shaped like a horse that needs every bit, needs every yard he'll give him. So he's back up in trip here, and I think he's bound to run a big race in this one. A slight flyer, if you're more interested in something a bit more exciting. I've noticed in the last 2 Midlands Nationals that get on the Yeager, because he doesn't jump well enough for 3 miles and is a bit slow for 3 miles sometimes. I think he's a bit funny, but he's never quite stayed 4 in the Midlands National the last 2 years. Now he gets about 3.5. He's never run over this sort of trip before. I backed him earlier in the week at about 16s. You'll still get something like that, but if you're interested in having a real cut in a race that I don't think is actually sort of that strong without Step Back, I'll be really fit for it. I think Classic Ben was meant to be fit for his reappearance and turned out wasn't. So we'll see if it's a particularly strong race and one you can maybe afford to take a flyer in.
Get on the Jaeger. Kiehl's, have you ever got on the Jaeger? Is that your sort of drink, a Jaeger bomb?
Catherine Fiddler, our former features editor, used to force me into having them every now and again in the boozer after work. But no, it's vile stuff, isn't it? Jaeger bombs, all that sugar and stuff with the, what's the other stuff they put in it?
Red Bull.
Red Bull, that's it. Absolute vile stuff, really, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? So, no, not really. No, I'll stick to the Guinness.
Okay, mate. Who'd you like in the London Nash?
As far as this one, I mean, I think, you know, I thought it was very straightforward, very obvious chance for Classic Ben, who won the Masters Handicap Chase here last year. He took the set down really well then. I know he was beaten when favourite last time at Bangor, but, I thought he shaped really well. probably need it. This will be the race he's been laid out for. This is the 50 grand handicap, not the one he's just running. And I think he shapes as though he wants a trip as well. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't go pretty close. I thought Vinnie Lewis shaped fairly well in the Durham National last time when sixth. Aidan Coleman takes over from Paige Fuller. He's interesting, but he is classic Ben for me.
Tipping more favourites than the blogger, mate. What's happened
to
you?
Yeah, it's unusual for me, isn't it? But
well, let's see if you've got any big prices at Aintree. We're doing that next.
So, does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at four ITV4 races at Aintree. The first of them is the fifth on the card. They start very early up at Merseyside. And it's the 1:30. It's the Randox Health Beecher Handicap Chase. 3 miles, 2 furlongs over the iconic Grand National Course. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Mulcahy's Hill is 5-1, Kimberley Candy 7-1, Vintage Clouds and Walk in the Mill are both 15-2, One for Arthur 9-1, Alf Desilbo and Bally Optic and Villian Rouge and Bally Diner on 10-1, and we're 11-1 bar.
And five places as well, available at paddypower.com and yep. Also on the Racing Post app. Keith, who wins the Beecher?
I'm not going to steal Keels' thunder with One for Arthur, although I do acknowledge he's a really solid horse for the race. And if you're only having one bet in it, him each way is the right one. We obviously know about his record around Aintree. He's run well in the Beecher too in the past. And his Kelso run just looked like a spin for the Beecher. The other one that I've put up at a really big price, and it's one of those sort of games Keels likes to play, is to take a horse out of a race or to take a certain race out of a horse's profile. And if LeBroy hadn't reappeared and run so desperately at Weatherby, and he made his reappearance in this race, wouldn't he be joint favourite?
Keels, we'll bring you in on that. What's your answer to that question?
Yeah, he wouldn't be far away, would he? Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's quite a good idea. Forgive a horse.
I'm maybe slightly overestimating joint, but you'd be really short in the bet, and he'd probably be single.
He wouldn't be far away.
Yeah, he'd be single figs. Yeah, he'd be single figures.
He won the 4 miler, and he's got Jamie Cobb back on board, so yeah.
Absolutely, and you know, that 4 miler, and his previous form going back from the 4 miler, so he competed in really good novices last season, didn't look like he needed a real plod, and the 4 miler form has, well, in sense of Discorama, he's shown himself to be well worthy of a sort of 150-ish rating. That's LeBroy's rating in this one. I've got a very slight concern about the stable form, but, you know, at a price of 33s and a horse that on form should be about 8s or 9s, more than built into that. And there's a quote in the press release that Ben Pauling was involved in, and they just said whatever happened at Weatherby, we think we've got to the bottom of that. I'd like to get more detail, but without that more detail, because it was too bad a run to be true. It was as if something was amiss, and if they have sorted something out from it, and this horse is back in form, he's a much, much better than a 25-33's chance.
LeBroy. Well, Ben Pauling at the HWPA Awards on Monday won 2 tickets to Hong Kong, and he said it's the first thing he's won for over a month, so he was admitting that the stable form wasn't great, but who's to say under the Codfather he won't bounce back? Keels, who's your fancy?
I fancy a couple. It's funny, I was considering back in Kimberlite Candy earlier in the week, and then I decided he was just too clumsy. But he's got first-time cheek pieces on, and he's down to 7-1, and he's got Richie McLernan on. So somebody obviously fancies him. But I like the course specialist for this, and One for Arthur. Obviously, you know, he was really impressive when he won the National 2 years ago. Three runnings ago. And he was sixth again last year, despite having a terrible prep. I thought he shaped really well at Kelso last time. Lucinda Russell said it's about a mile too short for him, but this is going to be run at a fair gallop. It'll be a test. And I can see him powering home. But I can also say the same about Vieux-Leon Rouge, so I backed him as well. He won a really good veterans chase first time up at Chepstow that worked out really well. Obviously, perfect candidate was in that race in third or fourth and came out and won easily at Haydock. And he just prepped over hurdles last time at Cheltenham. And I wouldn't worry about him finishing 9th of 10. He didn't get beat far. They didn't go very fast. Nowhere near the stamina test that he wanted. And he loves it here. He won it in 2016. He was second to Walk in the Mill last year. You know, we've got bookmakers offering extra places. It's very, very hard to see him out of the first five.
Okay, Frank, who's your Beecher fancy?
Yeah, I was very keen on Walk in the Mill, to be honest, last year's winner. He won it last year off 137. Was quite impressive, actually. Now, he didn't travel overly, you know, impressively or anything that day, but he came off it early enough, but he kept finding loads, and he really, his stamina really kicked in kind of between the last two, and he's powered way up the run in and won very easily, and he gets back in here off just a mark 4 pounds higher than last year. Now, he's run an absolute cracker in the National itself as well, where again, if you watch it, excuse me, he comes off it early, but he plugs on for fourth, and obviously Tiger Roll and Rat Bindon brought really good form to the race. I think it was a strong renewal. He ran there off 144. He's off 141 here. And he reigns in his favour. This race has a habit of throwing up the same kind of horses coming back and running well every year. And the fact he's run so well in both spins over the National fence, I think it's a real positive. Now, you need to kind of forgive him a bad run in the bad rails last time when he was pulled up. But the cheek pieces are going on. And even last year, he was beating 20-odd lengths when third in the bad rails. So I could see him bouncing back here. And as I said, the rain is definitely in his favour. Like, barring something coming down in front of him, I can't see him not being involved in the finish at least.
Lovely stuff. The 205 entry is to download the app at Virgin Bet. Filly's Juvenile Hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And another open contest, Frank.
Yeah, it's. I don't think anyone really knows what to make of this market. But Midnight's Gift is 11-4. Operatic Export 7-2. Gavrocha 4-1. Break the Rules 5-1. Sorsal's 12-1, and we're 16s bar.
Is this one of your strongest fancies of the day, Kills?
No, far from it. I mean, it's one of those. There's very, very little form to go on. Midnight's Gift is favourite because she won a race at Fakenham, but she might not have won it had Break the Rules not made a bit of a mess of the last. It was only a short head between them. She's 11-4. Break the Rules is 5-1. But looking at the figures they ran to, I think it was like 106, 107 RPR. Not, you know, that's around about a stone of what's normally short of what's normally required to win this race. So I wouldn't be surprised if something else was better. I would probably just take a chance on Operatic Export for a first run for Richard Newland. Now, he was rated as high as 92 earlier in the season on the flat, which is a good deal higher than Midnight's Gift. Lost his form completely, but did bounce back in a mile and a half handicap at Leopardstown on his final start. Ran pretty well, it'll be 3rd of 16. Guesswork, if I was going to have a bet, it'll certainly handle soft ground. That'd be him.
Who'd you like, Frank?
I'm a Keels. I didn't look at the race until Wednesday. And when I looked at it, I thought it was very weak for the grade. I thought Midnight Gift and break the Rules and him and her are matched really closely. So like, I think if you're going to back Midnight Gift at 11-4 over Break the Rules at 5-1, I wouldn't be in favour of that. Operatic Export's the one I backed on Wednesday. I just thought that she had a similar enough level of form to Midnight Gift on the flat. She won a maiden at Leopardstown on her debut, disappointed. But I thought it was interesting that her best run was her last run on soft, heavy ground at Leopardstown. She was 6 lengths in third. The second that day, Future Proof has raced 125 over hurdles. Now you can't take it as, you know, given that Operating Export who run to 120, but I thought there was every reason to think she could run well over hurdles. Newland's in good form as well at the moment, and in what looks a weak looking race, I thought she was worth chancing at prices.
Keith, it's not often a little race at Fakenham appears to hold the key to a TV race at Aintree, is it? Does it hold the key?
Possibly does. You've got to remember that Midnight's Gift's our entire career to this date is probably centred on this race. Alan King targets this race because he knows it tends to be weak. And I think, last year or the year before, the favourite for this race was a King horse in these same colours, I'm sure. It's a race that just gets targeted by Alan King every year. This horse, I think she's done really well to achieve what she has on the flat, an RPR of, I think, 81 on from Kempton on the all-weather. And to run to, you know, that figure she did at Fakenham, considering she's by Midnight Legend, there's a bit of speed and jumps terms on the dam side. It's sort of a bit dual purpose that way, but you know, Midnight Legends are all 3 mile chasers. She is going to be a lot better for going on a more galloping track, and the hurdles track at Aintree, you know, especially in testing ground, can take that little bit of getting. So, without claiming to be an expert in all the horses in this race, I think there's a lot to like about her, and I think she'll definitely confirm Fakenham form.
Okay, there is a fantastic 20 minute window on Saturday afternoon, 2:40. You've got the Virgin Bet price boosts, Many Clouds Chase. 20 minutes after that, you've got the Tingle Creek. We've done the Tingle Creek. Let's do the Many Clouds. Only four runners, but three of them are absolute beauties. Frank, what's the latest betting?
At Native River is 8-11. Might Bite 5-2. Black Carton 7-2. And Outlander 40-1.
Frank, how lucky are we? A rematch between those two old warriors, Native River and Might Bite, with the brilliant Black Courton thrown in. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, it's a very good race. The one worry would be Might Bite was below par in all his runs last year, and you'd be brave enough to back him, I think. I think Native River, although he's a short price, it's difficult to see him being beaten. He's getting £6 off Black Courton. Although he didn't win last year, he was second in the Betfair Chase, third in the King George, and fourth in the Gold Cup. They were all really solid runs. He's won at Ainsley before. He won a Grade 1 Novice Chase going back a good few years. And I think the blinker's on. He might just get a freebie out. Well, not a freebie, but he might just get loose in the front a little bit and just keep galloping. And the other two might just struggle. Like, Might Bite has a bit to prove. And the weight might just catch out Black Courton, even though he's obviously been running well with his second in the Galway Plate and third at Ascot off a big weight. But yeah, it's a Native River for me.
Keith, do you think Native River deserves to be as short as he is?
Probably. I mean, I couldn't back Might Bite. Frank said brave. I think you have to be mad the way he went through last year. And, you know, he's always lived on his nerves, that horse, as well. So once he goes, he's probably going to go. So you have to have worries. And I couldn't back Outlander, really. You can. I mean, he's got back class, but show the evidence he's going to show it, you know. I try my best to think of a case for Black Courton, but given £6 to Native River, and generally speaking, the races, a race being run to suit Black Courton will probably suit Native River too, because it means Native River's got going on the front and wound it up nice and early. So, yeah, I tried my best to make a case for Black Courton. I think the winner will be him or Native River, but I think the prices are more or less bang on. I just hope that the Native River gets a sort of ride with Sol when he won the Gold Cup, which was just really daring, and it was just a joy to watch. And if he can do that run the Mild May course too, that just might make up for the fact that the course is probably a little bit sharper than ideal for him.
What about you, Blogsy? Are you lumping on Native River?
Blogsy?
All you've done is tip favourites all day.
Very good. Very good. When I look at it, this is amazing. Well, I was looking at this last night. Right? Native River, beaten 4 lengths by Bristol DeMai in a Betfair Chase, 13 and a half lengths by Flanders Oboe in a King George, 9 1/4 lengths by Albion Photo, dropped from a mark of 176 to a mark of 167. Might Bite, beaten 29 lengths by Bristol DeMai, 37 lengths by Clanders Oboe, and tailed off when pulled up in the Gold Cup, dropped £5 from 172 to 167. How does that work out? Can't believe it. I mean, you know, look, Native River should be at least 3s on, and probably will be. There's no way Might Bite's coming back. He's a year older than Native River, completely gone at the game. Black Courton cannot give him £6. The blinkers are going to spark him up. Any of those runs, getting £6 from Black Courton would have no chance. And Might Bite's no good anymore. So yeah, he just has to get around to win.
I can't wait to see you with this selfie stick tomorrow. Going, come on, Native! Come on, Native! Keith, you were going to mention something about
that was
point there.
Yeah. If it was true racing blogger style, though, Black Court would come past on the running, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, no!
I mean, I saw Keel was putting this up last night, and I think I thought of it as well. There's probably two reasons for that, isn't it? One is that Native River demonstrably ran to that sort of figure he got, whereas Might Bite are just guessing. And secondly, if I were a handicapper, handicapping for the purposes of horses going to run in handicaps, I wouldn't bother touching a Nicky Henderson horse rate 160 plus until May at the end of the season. They're not going to run in them. So Native River needed to have his rating, a rating that was ready for him to run in a handicap. Might Bite didn't. You can rate him what you like until the end of the season and then judge him as you will. So I think that was the sort of two reasons behind it. Handicapper not wanting to waste undue sweat and tears on a horse that's not going to run a handicap. And also, he's guessing at what that's worth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if he had been dropped, he might be able to run in handicap somewhere. And he does, you know, the big Grade 3 used to be the Racing Post Chase at Kempton would be absolutely perfect for him if he's on the downgrade. He could get in there on good ground off a mark of what he should be, 157 instead of 167.
I think there's a bit of that, yeah. And there's an element, though, isn't there, of sort of yard habits. Paul Nicholls would do that. I'm not sure Nicky Henderson would.
Fair enough. Keith, Frank, sorry, I want to ask you something here. Based on how you've priced this up, when you do your match betting, do they tend to automatically be derived from the outright book? In other words, might I get a shade of odds against Black Courton to beat Might Bite? Or is that a case where you might think, hang on a sec, we need to manually override what the algorithm spat out here?
Yeah, well, like I was saying, it would be a function of the win price, but the extra markets prices wouldn't really be done until later on in the day when we're more confident with our prices that we have. So there's every chance that this price, that this race will be priced up by three compilers. The discussion will take place. We'll agree on a set of prices and then we'll do the extra markets prices. So I'd imagine those prices might be revised a little bit by the time you get to 4 or 5 o'clock.
But Black Horton should be fairly competitive in that match bet with Mike Bites, shouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, that's probably a very good angle into this race. If you think Mike Bites gone, that's the bet you want to be having. Just one thing I wanted to say, going back to Keely's blogger videos, I think if we saw Paul having after racing videos, he would get an awful lot of hits.
That is true, actually. Maybe he should consider. Yeah.
I'd also get the sack, though.
Yeah, up till about, there'd be a watershed for them kills, wouldn't there, I think, probably.
Half past three.
After about 9 o'clock, if Kiel saw a video of himself the next day, he'd be watching the action for the first time.
Well, we talked about the match bets there as well, and I think people who like to bet match bets on spreads in particular will be absolutely rubbing their hands over taking on Mike Bite, I suspect.
Yeah, because you've got an ultra-consistent horse who on his day might not be as good as Mike Bite, but be far more likely to do his running.
It's a template, isn't it? It's an absolute template of one of those sort of match spread bets. You've probably copped the lot, won't you?
You'd hope so.
If you believe Keels, you definitely will cop the lot.
You would hope so.
And I'd think it's, you know, evens that you will do so.
Mm. Okay, that's an interesting race out. And 3:15 at entry is the Grand Sefton over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Another tricky heat. Frank, another open book.
Yeah, Gold Presence 4-1, Flying Angel 9-2, Ultra Gold 5-1, Touch Kick 11-2, It's Jennifer 7-1, Kilaro Boy 15-2, Dodero Vallis is 9-1, Cape Adventure 12-1, and we're 20 spare.
We are with you to go first, Keith.
Yeah, it's a really interesting race, this. Again, like a bit like the Beecher, it's not like it's chock full of horses. You're thinking, oh, that's top of horse. It's a little bit more in the way of sort of exposed horses, and then sort of indicative of that is the fact the horse I'd be putting up is 10. He's quite likely to race for a 10-year-old. It's Kilaro Boy. He's only had 3 runs for Henry Oliver. He won the first. The second time he ran into Brave Eagle. And then last time he ran to Burton's Well in a veterans race round here over 3-1. He ran really freely that day, but gave a really exemplary round the jump and shaped like he'll take to these national fences pretty well. And that, you know, he cut out a little bit at the last and suggests that dropping back to 2.5, certainly in more testing ground, won't be an issue at all. You can just make the case that he's still improving for the new yards, being so like the race as he is for his age, and has the racing style of one that'll thrive in something like a Grand Sefton.
Nice one, Keith. Come on, Kills. Restore my faith in you. Go for something at a price.
Right, yeah, I've backed a couple. One of them is a price. It's Wishful Dreaming, trained by Sam England. Now, he promised an awful lot more than he delivered over the years. He used to be with Philip Hobbs, then went to Ollie Murphy. He's a half brother to Wishful Thinking, but he just seems to have grown up a bit for moving, you know, maybe being a big fish in a small pond at Sam England. He won 3 times over fences last year. He returned over hurdles with a quiet run, but then ran, you know, what was a career best on Racing Post figures on the Mildmay course over 2 mile here when third to the last day. He was out of the handicap, but Casablanca Mix has taken the easier route and gone into the mare's chase, so he's now in the handicap. And I think he's still a big price at 20-1. He jumps reasonably well. And, you know, like I said, he looks like he's grown up a bit. Always promised more than he should, more than he's done. And I think a handicap mark of 127 is perfectly fair. So there's one outsider for you. The other one I like is Dodero Vallis. Now, he's got a bit to prove. He was pulled up behind Flying Angel, who's well in here at Ascot last time. But first time out last year, he got beat half the length of the straight and he still won his next 2 starts. The first one was only a fortnight later. It wouldn't surprise me if Venetia Williams laid him out for this. He won this race with Benny's King about 4 years ago. And he does jump pretty well and he wants a flat track, probably left-handed as well. So I think he's got the right profile for me. I don't really get Nicky Henderson's Gold Present being favourite of 4-1. Seems to have been backed all week. Very rarely runs on soft ground, very rarely finishes a race on soft ground. So I can't, you know, he's just a good ground horse and has also fallen over these fences when he ran here in 2017.
Lovely stuff, Kills. Who goes for Dodero Vallis and Wishful Dreaming? Frank, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I'm quite keen on Touch Kick for Paul Nicholls. He's a very strong record in the race as well. He's won it three times in the last 6 years. Warriors Pay in 2018, Azdemi in 2016, and Rebel Rebellion in 2013. Now, Touchcake caught my eye in the Kimure at Cheltenham last March. Travelled really well. Now, if you watch it back, he absolutely leathers the fifth last and comes back on the bridle very quickly. Travels nearly as well as anything down the hill and into the straight, and then just kind of empties from just approaching the last up the hill to finish ninth, beating 18 lengths. Thing about what's interesting, he had his reappearance run was at Fakenham last time. That was the first time he won left-handed. I would have had a small query about him left-handed, considering all his previous wins had been right-handed. But in that Fakenham race, it was quite weak in respect of this race, but he went off 11-4 that day. Now, I think if he'd been fully fit, he'd have been going off around 5-4 to even money, in around that kind of price. So I imagine he's going to take a good step forward for that run, and he won very easily. He's still only 8. He's not had that many runs. I think there's, like he said, 10 chase starts total. He's after winning 4 of them. I think 2.5 or 2.5 miles, a little bit of easy ground. I could see him. He can make the odd mistake. Gets into a rhythm with these fences, I think he's still well handicapped off a mark of 139.
Great stuff, lads. That is the TV action covered off. What else should we be backing? We've got the rest of Aintree, we've got the rest of Sandown, we've got Wetherby, Chepstow, Wolverhampton, and over in Ireland, they're racing at Navan. What have you got for us, Keith?
There's only one that I really picked out from other races I looked at. It was at Wetherby, and all my Scottish friends will laugh at me, but I cannot pronounce Big Nasty, or I can, Big Nasty with a hard A, like I should. Always tempted to call it Big Nasty. but it shaped pretty well at air. It's chasing debut. 2.5 miles was too short for it. Up and trip in this race against Dino Boy, who didn't...
What time are we talking about?
2.50.
Here? 2.50. 2.50, lovely.
Dino Boy is likely to be popular because he's only run twice over hurdles and gone straight into handicap chases. The Million in Mind horse. But I wasn't terribly convinced by him at Bangor last time, whereas Big Nasty is going to really thrive over 3 miles. He looks like a tank. Going to really suit 3 miles and has good hurdles for him here as well.
Kiehl's, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got quite a few actually.
Go on then.
We start at 12:30 Aintree, Sammy Bill. I was at Kempton the other day when he ran there, and he just drifted like a barge, and he still jumped really, really well. Won really, really easily. He's gone up a lot for that in better company now. He's owned by Trevor Hemming, so no surprise that he's running at Aintree, but I just thought he shaped like a horse that's going to have an awful lot more to come. I'd imagine the favourite would be Amula Gold, who was third last time, but he does tend to belt a fence, and he don't want to be doing that at Aintree. Sandown in the 120, Flemcara, Emma Lavelle just won the Ladbrokes Trophy. That Flemcara has gone really, really well here before. Was second or third to Lord Napier last season. Likes the track, likes the soft ground, will go well. 12:20, Chepstow, Dorking Cock. Hasn't really taken offence. It's a bit of a distance fourth to Sammy Bill last time at Kempton, funny enough. But I think the cheap pieces might help him jump. If they do, he's dropped to a handicap mark. He, on ability-wise alone, he's miles better than Captain Catterscott for Paul Nichols. Should go very, very close, and he's in the Welsh National Trial in the 155. And in the 230, Sojourn, I thought he took the fences really, really well at Market Raising. He's another one that's gone up way up in the weights, but he deserved to because he canted his way through. Here go well. And I've just got a little conspiracy theory for you. In the London National, Paige Filler always rides Vinnie Lewis, and she's been jocked up for it all week. But she rides for Jamie Snowden, and he's obviously demanded that she goes up to Wetherby to ride an unraised horse in a bumper. Now, I would be pretty sure that he'd be letting her ride in the London National if Sazerac wasn't any good. So she's gone up there, and Harry Whittington, who trains Vinnie Lewis, has given her a ride in the first on Young Bull, who won very easily last time. I'll probably be able to go close as well.
Excellent. Frank, how many have you got for us?
I've got 4.
Go on then, my friend.
One is in Wetherby, the 2.10 in that Young Bull race. Young Bull and Oscar Robertson both won last time out, but I thought there was an interesting one getting 6 pounds off the two of them. That was Cheval Noir for Rose Dobbin. Now, obviously, she had a terrible time of things last year. They had a virus, and she struggled to have a winner for a long time, but she's having a really good season this year. They're really bouncing back. This horse won a point in 2018, was sold for 110 grand afterwards, wasn't seen last season, which may have been no bad thing considering the stable form. Reappeared in a bumper at Kelso over 2 miles, showed a really good attitude to win that day, beating a horse that had been second to a useful enough Nick Williams horse on its bumper debut. The step up and trip is really going to suit in its point form, and I think you might be able to get a fairly handy price on that this afternoon, considering you have two previous winners in there from more fashionable stables. And Navin, just a couple to keep an eye on. In the 105, the 3 mile handicap hurdle, we've got an unusual situation where 2A per me goes back over hurdles. He's rated 114 over hurdles, but he's actually having to run off 122. So theoretically, he's £8 out of the handicap. But of course, he's rated 155 over fences. So he's absolutely lobbed in return to hurdles. If he shows anything at all compared to his chase form, he should be very difficult to beat. In the Claren Davis, the grade 3 novice chase, Tornado Flyer really should be winning this. The drop and trip might not be ideal, but he's the only horse in the race with, I would say, proper grade 1 form and the potential to be a grade 1 chaser. Over at Chepstow then, I thought one that probably would be an each way price potentially might be worth chancing, the 125 3 mile handicap hurdle. According to Gene, I caught my eye on his last run at Chepstow when he was second. Travelled really powerfully into the straight. Young William Marshall was claiming 10 off on that day. The winner was also an exposed a Fergal O'Brien horse. They pulled a little bit clear of the third. It's gone up £2, 119. On his previous run, which was his handicap debut at Warwick, he was third in a race. It's worked out reasonably well. Conor Schumacher's up here. It's up in a better race, but I think he might get a stronger pace to aim at. And considering the way he travels, that might actually suit him better than running a lower grade race. And just one to keep an eye on in that race, not a tip for tomorrow, but Potter's Corner is having a spin over hurdles. And I was just having a look at the Welsh National. And if he runs a relatively nice race tomorrow, he's one to keep in mind for the Welsh National at a big price. He looks like one that's just been targeted at that race.
Lovely. Loads of fantastic tips from the lads for Saturday. If they could only back one horse, let's find out who that would be.
This will not be beaten.
Keith Milrose, what's your nap?
It's one of those funny days when I've got lots of 7, 8 out of 10 bets and not very many 10 out of 10s. I think the one that I think's a Rick is LeBroy, so I'll probably nominate him. But it's not to say he's any particularly stronger than the rest, it's just that I think his price is the most out of whack.
And that is in the 130 feature entry. Okay, Kills, who's your nap?
Yeah, I think Malaya will take the world of beating in the 225 at Sandown.
And Frank?
Yeah, I'm going to chance one in the 230 at Chepstow, a horse of Anthony Honeyball's called Sojourn. Now, it's a very lightly raced horse, only 6 years old, had 5 career starts. I was fourth in a relatively decent bumper at Newbury on debut behind Tidal Flow and Burrows Edge, who are useful enough hurdlers. Won its second start at Aintree in a bumper, beating Misty Whiskey, who subsequently won a listed mare's bumper at Sandown. Was third twice over hurdles last season, towards the tail end of last season. But of course, Anthony Honeyball, again, another yard that had a bit of issues last season. He only had 14 winners all last season. He's had 14 winners already this season. They're really running well. Now, this horse made its chasing debut at Market Racing over 3 miles there last month, won by 16 lengths off Market 117. Now, admittedly, it wasn't the greatest race in the world, but I think there's enough in some of the bumper runs to suggest he's still going to be well handicapped off 127. And with the yard in much better form, I think he's worth chancing in the 230 Chepstow.
Great stuff. Thank you, chaps. Now then, what have Min presenting Percy and Top Notch got in common? They're all running on Sunday. We're going to preview the Sunday action next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, Paul Keighley and Frank the Tank Hickey. 3 great races in England and Ireland on Sunday. Too many boring Sundays, but this certainly isn't one. This is a real cracker. And I'm looking forward very much to the 2 o'clock at Huntingdon. It's the Fitzstairs Peterborough Chase. Frank, what's the latest betting?
LeBargo Ross, 2-1. Born Top Notch, 9-4. ASO, 5-2. Born Survivor, 6-1. And we're 16s bar.
Kills, there should be a race of this sort of quality every Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. It's too much goes on Saturday, not enough on Sunday. But beside that, who's going to win it? That's the key question.
I think the betting's all wrong. I can't see what LeBargo Ross is doing as favourite. She's officially rated 150. ASO would have to give her £18 in a handicap. It's only given her 6. He ran an absolute cracker at Weatherby on his return over a trip too far. Top Notch would give her £11 in a handicap. Only given her 6. He ran an absolute cracker on his return as well, winning Aintree over hurdles. You know, what's she doing as favourite? No idea. She ran an absolutely terrible race at Weatherby on her return pulling up. So she'll drift. I don't think ASO really wants to be going right-handed. Top Notch showed his well-being, does like going right-handed. I think he should be considerably shorter than 9-4.
Hills is going for Top Notch. Frank is going for?
I'd probably just stick with the Bag of Walk. Obviously, some of her novice form last year is really strong, like, tying in with lots of transition stuff. And look, she's to overcome a desperate run of Weatherby. I do think, like, proper soft ground and look like that on Weatherby doesn't really suit her, and she's going to get a much better surface. It's currently good to soft at Hunterton. I think it'll suit her. Like, she might get a little bit of competition from Charbel for the lead, but if she does get, if he holds back a small bit and she does get a freebie in front, I think she might be able to dominate. I take what Paul's saying in that she has a lot to prove, and perhaps she doesn't justify being favourite at the moment, but I just take a chance that she can get back to her novice form from last year.
Very conflicting views on Le Bag au Roi. Where do you sit, Keith?
I'm more with Keels, to be honest. I spent all last season opposing her, and she nearly skint me until the death, really. She I kept thinking, oh, we'll get her beat next time, we'll get her beat next time, and she kept winning up until the spring. I will keep doing this season. I think that Weatherby run's bad enough that you can just keep saying and going against her, especially when, as is alluded to, you've got two really good horses with Top Notch and Aso in there. I do get what Keel says about Aso going that way round, and that Top Notch has the conditions in his favour. I think Aso's a much better horse. And I was going to actually give him a chance, about 8-1 price he was in the Many Clouds, because the only horses that finished in front of him at Weatherby were Bally Optic and Elegant Escape, who are real plodders, and that was desperate ground at Weatherby. I think he might get three. And that's another thing about this Huntingdon race, is it's 2-4. I think he probably wants a really stiff 2-4. But if they go a good gallop, I think he's the best horse in the race. And I can see him certainly going off shorter than Le Bag au Roi, and it being between him and Top Notch for favourite.
Okay, hope that was helpful. Three market leaders, and the boys have tipped one each. Right then, let's see if there's more unity when it comes to the 150 at Punchestown, which is the John Durkin Memorial Punchestown Chase. Over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, Min is our favourite at the moment at 8-11, presenting Percy 5-1, Shattered Love 13-2, Real Steel 7-1, Snow Falcon 12-1, Duke de Geneva 16-1, and we're 20s bar.
Do you make Min a solid fav, Frank, or are you going to take him on?
Yeah, there's looked a couple of disappointing runs last year, obviously in the Queen Mother and being turned over by Unisol Punchestown, but yeah, he'd be very disappointed if he couldn't beat these here. He obviously won the race impressively enough last year. Presenting Percy, I couldn't have him over 2.5 miles, or just, yeah, 2.5 miles against these. I think he's very short. I'd be surprised if this wasn't any more than just maybe a prep for Christmas. So yeah, although Min's odds on, I find it very difficult to oppose him.
Keith, does Min win?
Probably. It's a real watching race, isn't it? I think Frank's correct about presenting Percy, and that this is just a spin to get him right for whatever they're going to target at Christmas or beyond. I said to Keels when he was on about his 12th Guinness once recently that I still think this horse could pretend, if it have to jump a bit better, it could win a Gold Cup. It's got the ability. So I'll be watching how he shapes. That's my main interest in the race on Sunday.
There's not many watching races in Paul Keighley's book, but is this one of them?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, look, Min's got the best form. You know, he's lived in Altior's shadow for so long, but, you know, a 2.5 mile, he might just be able to dominate all season. He should be the best around of the trip. Obviously, can be a little bit in and out, but if he's right, he wins. I think Will Steele, stablemate, might follow him home. He's had a run, was actually pretty impressive at Downwell. Obviously, this is a big step up in class, but I think he might be the one to follow up.
Okay, Cork stages its big race. It's the Kerry Group Hillyway Chase. Over 2 miles and 1 furlong, just the 4 runners. Frank, have we got betting?
We don't have prices up for this yet, Bruce.
Okay, never mind. We've got Ballyasheen, we've got Silas Emery, we've got Greatfield, and we've got Us and Them. Keith, who will pass the post in front?
Probably Ballyasheen. I thought Us and Them shaped better than the result at Cheltenham. Had no chance from where he was placed, but you'll need to really improve to feature in this, so Ballyasheen.
Kales, any strong views here?
Not massively. Ballyasheen is, you know, I think that was his Gold Cup when he won last time. He'd have been hard fit for that. Chelaeus Emery was quite impressive when beating Ornua last time, but Ornua really doesn't want bottomless ground, and this is another step up. So be Ballyasheen for me, as long as he's not gone over the top for being hard fit last time.
Okay, and Frank, who do you like here?
Yeah, it looks a very interesting race. It wouldn't be one that would interest me to have a bet, really. But I do think Silas Emery looked potentially top class in his 2 chase runs, albeit the form isn't, you know, unbelievably strong, but just the manner in which he won. Obviously, he had some solid enough form as a hurdler, obviously winning a grade one as a novice. But as Paul said there, Bally O'Sheen, he was definitely ready to go at Navan the last day. And he might just set it up for Silius Emery, I think.
Okay, anything on any of those three undercards or indeed at Kelso, Keith?
Yeah, I had a very quick look at the Borders National and we mentioned Rose Dobbin earlier. I thought her horse, Big and Iron, on his hip, won in a very protracted photo at Weatherby last time, but he was more superior than that. He tanked all over them. I thought it was Lorcan Murta rode him and I thought he maybe should have kicked on to it because he clearly had them cooked. Didn't, and nearly got done for speed. Only got up in the sort of shadow of the post again. He's another horse from that yard that's still well handicapped after last year. He's only been raised £2 for that. I think a real test will suit him. Whether it doesn't look as particularly competitive as it did see last year in the Borders National. And it probably, you know, given that good old Harry the Viking used to win it and go well in it every year, tells you that it's not often a race that the very best and brightest turn up in. And I just think it's potential for him to be quite an attractive price.
That's the 4 miler at 1:15 at Kelso on Sunday. Kills, anything else to offer?
Yeah, a few. 130 Huntington Magic Dancer. I thought he shaped quite well with Fulford Newby last time. Wasn't beaten far. This is second run after a wind up. I'm sure that'll go well. 3:30 Copperface Jack got beaten a fair way at Hereford last time, but I thought he also shaped well. He led for a long way, jumped really well. If he comes on for that, he's got plenty of second places to his name at Huntington. No wins, but he does handle the track. In the Borders National, I think the trip of just over 4 miles is just about far enough for Dawson City, who will be plugging on late. He shaped reasonably well in a cross-country chase last time. And Wild West Wind, another one who shaped well in a veterans chase when finishing fourth, is in another veterans chase there. It should be a much easier race for him to win.
What do you think of that? Obviously like him if you're backing him on Sunday, Keels, but Wild West Wind's a horse I've backed loads.
I mean, it's one of those. He's a tricky customer, no doubt about it.
I think is it breathing, do you think?
I should hope he is.
No, is it? Because it's a horse that I remember one year he went from, I think he traded odds on in the Grand National trial at Haydock and then pulled him. He refused to jump the second last because he got that tired. He jumped at Warwick last time. I backed him and he ran. He looked again. He traded odds on, but when he empties, he really does stop.
He hasn't got the little W by his name, is he?
It's either breathing or it's another part of his head. But I mean, it's an easy race.
It's got loads of ability though. One day it could make absolute monkeys of everything off that mark.
Frank, have you got anything else for us?
The only thing I was interested to look at was the 1:30 at Huntingdon. I know Paul's put something up, but T Clipper is one that's very unexposed, only had 3 starts, won a point, won 2 novice hurdles, was, I think the last day at Kempton was quite impressive. Now the race wasn't up to much, he's going handicapping off 127. I think that might be a fair enough mark, and he'd be one I'd be keeping an eye on.
Okay, right then. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Weekend plans, Frank? I guess you just sit there and change nappies and rock the baby to sleep these days, do you?
That's about the size of it, really. Like, as in, there's 3 things to do. Feed him, clean his arse, and wind him. And that's it. And then if he's crying after that, there's something wrong.
You hand them over then, don't you, to Jill?
Yeah.
Frank, it's been really lovely having you back on the show, my friend. Let's not leave it too long next time, eh?
No, I'll be back next week. Strong fancy for Tottenham.
Oh, lovely. Excellent. Keith, what are the weekend plans for you?
I'm donning the Christmas jumper and going out in Leeds.
You're going out in Leeds?
Yeah.
In a Christmas jumper?
Yeah, I know. It's just, if we go, but you've got to have some, for start of lunchtime, you've got to have some excuse. some of my friends won't last until the Joshua fight, but
do you get the trip?
I've got to watch myself. I've got to, you know, if I get the hood on.
So you're starting at lunchtime and hoping to make the Joshua fight, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, good luck with that one. One person who we'd have no such worries about is Keels. Why aren't you in the studio, by the way, you bastard?
Well, these train strikes, it's just a pain in the arse, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? I could wait for ages for trains. They cancelled loads on Monday, so...
And you want to go to Sandown today, don't you?
And I want to go to Sandown, yeah. I'm actually sitting in a mate of mine's office just 2 minutes down the road, so I'm going there now.
Oh, okay. And then, so what, are you having a big sesh today and back at the Isha venue tomorrow?
No, I'm not going to go mad today, but I will be there tomorrow on the piss properly, and I will last on the Joshua fight, and I will have a sizable chunk of whatever winnings out on Ruiz to do it again.
You got to. That's the bet, I'm telling you.
He was found out last time.
You're going to back him to knock him out?
It's not much difference. I was just having a look. There ain't much difference in the price between him to win and him to knock him out. I mean, it ain't going to points, I don't think, but... I'm sure he will just wear him down in the end because he'd get tired, Joshua. Too big.
Of all the sporting events this weekend that I think are wrongly priced, that is the one. Ruiz, 2-1 and bigger. I can't get over that. Okay, thank you very much indeed, chaps. That was a fantastic show. And don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. Maddie's back on Monday with the review. We've got football on Thursday and we're back next Friday for another Racing Post weekend podcast.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.